Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thus all the universes remain thousands of aeons within the water, the causal ocean. The Lord of living beings entering in each of them caused them to be fully animated. Purport. The Lord is described here as Jiva because He is the leader of all other Jivas, the living entities. In the Vedas, He is described as Nitya, the leader of all other Nityas. The Lord's relationship with the living entity is like that of the Father with the sons. The sons and the Father are qualitatively equal, but the Father is never the Son, nor is the Son ever the Father who begets. So as described above, the Lord as Garbha Dakshai Vishnu or Hiranyagarbha, Super Soul, enters into each and every universe and causes it to be animated by begetting the living entities within the womb of the material nature, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14.3. After each annihilation of the material creation, all the living entities are merged within the body of the Lord, and after the creation, they are again impregnated within the material energy. In the material existence, therefore, the material energy is seemingly the mother of the living entities, and the Lord is the Father. When, however, the animation takes place, the living entities revive their own natural activities under the spell of time and energy. Thus, the varieties of all living entities, beings, are manifested. The Lord, therefore, is ultimately the cause of all animation in the material world. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'd like to ask the devotees permission, blessings, I can say something. As most devotees who know me, I normally give classes on leelas or festivals or pastimes, so giving Bhagavatam, I have to be honest, is not my forte. Particularly, this chapter is quite complicated and I'm not 100% philosophical minded. There are many wonderful devotees, Govinda, Antaranga, so please bear with me as we try to understand today's purport, and I beg your blessings. Vanchakalpa tribhyascha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitonam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So I'm going to open it up, what Antaranga did. Maybe just someone can give a sutra, what the purport is, so then we can see if anyone wants to give a little, and then I can take it from there. Anybody wants to try? Anything key, any key points that anybody thinks that was in the purport? There were obviously many things Prabhupada said. Anything key that strikes out to anyone? Prabhu?
Prabhupada gave the analogy of how the father and the son are they're qualitatively the same.
Yeah. Anything else? Any ladies? So what I'd like to take from here is animation. This purport, Prabhupada speaks of animation. So up to now we've been hearing the creation, how Brahma created everything, all the different elements, earth, water, fire, all the different senses. And then up to this point, where have the living entities been? Where have the, while all this creation or whatever is taking place, where have the living entities been? Yoga Nidra. They've been within the Mahavishnu. So we see this picture just behind. There's the Goloka Vrindavan, there's the Vaikuntha planets, then there's the Mahatattva there. Then we can see Mahavishnu just lying over there. And then as he breathes out from the pores, as explained over here, innumerable universes come about. And then as explained, then again from Mahavishnu, then he enters again there. And from there, the sprout of the lotus flower and Brahma is created. And then once the creation is done, then the living entities are placed within the material world. And according to our karma, as explained here, according to time, according to the energy, then the living entity begins its animation process in the material world. So then the parents, they beget a child. Then the child, according to the karma, according to the activities, possibly according to the garbhada sanskars that's been performed, then a certain particular living entities enters the material world. If the garbhada sanskars are not performed rightly as Kashyapa and Diti, then what do we beget? Demons. So it is important that when we invite the living entity, a certain sanskars have to be performed. So then the living entity enters the material world after being neons. How long is a neon? Anyone know, Govinda? Yeah? It's a long time. I looked it up. It's a very, very long time. So for us, at least in the... There's two kind of dissolution. There's one that takes place after the end of Brahma's life, and there's one that takes place after the end of Lord Brahma's day. So when it's the end of Brahma's life, then they're all going to Mahavishnu, and then when it's the end of the day, then they, interesting enough, I just read they go into Brahma, or the lotus stem, which is there. So then we just take it that it's the end of Brahma's kind of day, then he wakes up, then the living entities, they go about according to their karma. And then the living entity is there within the womb of the mother. And the Bhagavatam explains it's not a comfortable situation. It's a very, very difficult situation. You know, you're all crammed up, isn't it? In a very, very tight place. Anyone ever caught a train in India and you just happened to get a third class ticket and then you're just crammed in a very, very tight place. There's nowhere to move, nowhere to breathe. So the living entity is entrapped in this particular situation. And it is explained that there are different entities within the womb and they attack the poor innocent baby. And in that suffering condition, in that difficult situation, what does the living entity do? It prays, Vandana, it prays. So we have done one drama, it's called The Promise. Some of you might know. And then at that particular point, the living entity, under such suffering conditions, is explained in the purport, the Lord of the Jivas is with the soul as Paramatma. Parikshit Maharaj happened to able to see Paramatma. I don't know if the Jiva can, but at least in that suffering, painful situation, then he makes a promise, or he makes a situation whereby he says that I want to serve you. And because it's time after time after time, birth, death, reincarnation, janma, mrityu, vyadi, jara, the living entities just perpetually in this sansara just goes. And then when it gets to this human form of life, then it has a little intelligence. And then it makes this promise that I will serve you. And then, but when the child is born, Because the birth experience is so difficult, it's so painful. What happens to the promise? It forgets. And then the first thing, the living entity comes into the material world, animation takes place, as explained. Then the baby starts to cry. It's not a joyful experience. And I'm not sure if they still do it now. Then, you know, they hold the baby upside down, and maybe just to make sure there's no wind or air, they give it a little smack or something. And then the living entity goes within the loving hands of the mother. And the living entity, whether it's conscious or slightly conscious, it looks up. And at that point, the living entity is showered with so much love, so much affection. All the relatives, they come in, they start to come and see the child. They bring balloons, they bring flowers. When you were born, did somebody bring flowers for your mother? You probably don't remember. And so in this way, there's so much love. And there's a really, really nice song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I never know this song. Prabhupada gives the really, really nice, amazing purport to this. Amara Jivana. It's a very, very nice song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he's explaining the plight of the living entity. The living entity is there, and then he's surrounded by all the different friends and family. And then Prabhupada is explaining that when the baby is there, then everyone's going, coochie, 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 coo. Everyone's just giving that love, all the family, the uncles, the aunties. And in that kind of a comfortable situation, the living entity feels very, very happy, very, very secure. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, he explains in that kind of loving, secure, loving relationship, he grows up. And then according to his karma, then he has to go through the different processes which is there in the world. We've had the janma, and then the karma, whatever his karma is, then his activities. Then the growing process, the animation starts to take place. Then he has to go to school. Then he has to be taught about the world, how to live in this world. Then after that, he has to make some friends, then get into the social ladder. Then in this way, the living entity gets entrapped more and more within the material world. And such an illusion is created within the world, within the family, that we feel very, very happy, very, very secure. And then you go to school. I'm not sure about anyone else, but I remember my school days not being too particular pleasant. And there was so much peer pressure to learn, to learn, to learn, to cram it all in, to cram it all in, to cram it all in. And then the nerves set in, then there's the exams, then you have to spew it all out, blah, you know. But all that information that we gather, 95% of the information that's been forced upon us by society, most of it we don't even use. Anyone particularly use the information they had in school in their day-to-day life? Some? Counting. Anyone else? Then after he gets his degree, he gets his hat, He chucks it up in the air. He becomes very, very happy. And he thinks he can go and conquer the world. He takes a little bit of time off. Then he travels the world. And sometimes what happens when you're traveling around the world? Cupid comes. Isn't it? Cupid comes. And then you get involved in a situation by you want to share your life with somebody in this kind of a situation. And then slowly, slowly you start to build your empire. Yesterday in the Shastri, Bhakti Shastri, I was explaining how the living entity just accumulates. Once there was a guru and he had a disciple. And the guru instructed the disciple, just keep your life very, very, very simple. The simple your life is, then the easier life will be. And he gave him two instructions. The first instruction was to always chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the second instruction, just have one piece of dhoti. One piece of dhoti. Then he thought, yeah, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Chant Hare Krishna by the river, have one piece of dhoti. And there he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then in the evening, he would wash his dhoti and then he would dry it out. And then the dhoti would be still a little bit wet when he tried to put it on. So I don't know if anyone's had the experience of having wet clothes. They're very, very sticky. A couple of times I've been caught in rain, in monsoon in India, and then you have these sticky clothes. It's not easy to move around. It's very, very irritating. So he was trying to chant in these wet clothes. So then he thought, Eureka, let me just buy another dhoti. And then with this other dhoti, I can wear the dry one, and then the wet one can, after washing, just dry itself. So in this way, he had two dhotis. So he was very happy chanting Hare Krishna, and then he had two dhotis. One he would wear, and one would be drying after it's been washed. But then from the corner of his eye, he noticed a little mouse coming. And he started nibbling away at the dhoti. And that broke his meditation. That broke his disturbance. And said, oh, Bhagavan. So then he started chasing the mice away. And then he went back in meditation, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then again the mice would come and start nibbling away. Isn't it? We have that example, Srila Prabhupada, his father was a cloth merchant, and then the mice would come and eat the cloth. And what would Srila Prabhupada's father do? Put a little bit of rice, that the mice would eat that and wouldn't eat the cloth. So then he was getting disturbed, so he decided to get a cat. You use a cat to chase the mice away. The manor has many, many rats and mice, so we have a few cats hanging around over here. We particularly had one cat named Kijai. I don't know if anyone remembers. His name was Kijai. He was a very, very nice cat. He would come for Mangalati. But he was a very, very respectful cat. He would only be by the reception, come for Mangalati, and then after that disappear, keep the mice away. And it worked. Kijai kept the mice away from the dhoti. And there he was. He was all happy. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Cat kept the mice away. But then what happened? As he was chanting or meditating, then the cats, what do they like to do? They come and purr next to you. And then it needs to be fed. So then I was thinking, oh God, I'm trying to do my meditation, I'm trying to do my chanting. Can't you just take care of the mice? But no, the cat needs feeding. So then he decided, oh, what do cats like? Milk. So then he decided, oh, I better go and get a car. A cow. So he decided to go and get a cow. So you'd be quite surprised. Most people don't even know the milk comes from a cow. Sometimes when I do the school trips and they go and see the cows, then I say to them, oh, this is the cows, this is where your milk comes from. And the kid says, oh, I thought it came from Tesco. So then he doesn't know how to, how many people know how to milk a cow? Few people. Ben, a little bit. Ladies, have you ever milked a cow? Yeah? So it's a little bit of an art to milk the cows. And this person, he didn't know how to milk the cow. So therefore, he decided that he needs to find someone to milk the cow. So then he goes and finds himself a wife. Then he gets a wife, he gets married, and then the wife milks the cow, feeds the cat, who keeps the mice away. Then there he is, he's happy chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But then, what happens after that? The wife is not happy to live under a tree. The wife is not happy, maybe some of you are, I'm not sure. They need atogriha, kshetra. They need some place to live. He didn't have anything. So then what's the next thing he has to do? He has to earn a livelihood. He has to earn some money. So therefore he had to get a job to keep the house, the bills, to look after the cow, feed the cat, keep the mice away. And in this way he got caught up in the material world. Then after some time the guru came. And then as the guru walked past, he couldn't even recognize his disciples. And then he took a double look. Then he said, hey Bhagavan, what's happened to you? Then he started, oh, my dhoti, then the mice, then the cat, then the milk, then the wife. So in this way, the living entity gets caught up in the material world. Then the guru said, don't worry, it's not a big thing. All you got to do is whatever situation you're in, you just, whenever it's possible, you always just chant Hare Krishna or remember Krishna. So the living entity in this way goes about doing its activities. Life after life, birth after birth, after so many creations. And then it is explained that only by the mercy of Krishna or by the mercy of the Guru, then the living entity can be broken from this cycle of repeated birth, death, old age and disease. And the mercy of Krishna or the devotees is the one that can save us from this particular situation that the living entity is all wrapped up in. So what kind of mercy can the devotees give the living entity? Prayojana?
Causeless.
Causeless action. And what is that action? Anyone can give any examples of any action? David?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, yes. So when the book distributors go about And then the living entities are busy going about doing their activities, have no idea about their karma, their activities. Then that book can set them free. That book can help them understand what's been taught in the main frame of society. So that's another causeless way a devotee can save someone. And there's so many wonderful stories of books coming to different living entities, saving them. There was one devotee, he was on a holiday in Greece with his girlfriend, and then he was sunbathing. Then after sunbathing, he was walking, and then on the side over there, by the stones, he saw one book, all wet, been pushed back and forth in the waves. And then he went to take the book, shook the water off, and do you know what book it was? It was the Bhagavad Gita. There he was, the living entity, trying to enjoy life, trying to make some kind of happiness, but then he got the Bhagavad Gita. And he was just doing nothing really, then he read it. And then the book drew him in, and he was awakened with the knowledge. And then he cut his trip to Greece short, told his wife or girlfriend, I'm going back. There was an address at the back. And then he went to the temple and he became a devotee. Any other ways? Prabhuji, you have so many stories, isn't it? Some living entity just going about fulfilling his senses, trying to satisfy his needs, but then the devotee comes and helps him. There's another one. One devotee was doing book distribution, and it was a marathon, so they were working very, very, very hard. And then it was about 8, 9 o'clock, and he was packing away his books. And then he saw one person slumped to the side of the lamps, and you could see he was having a hard time, he was suffering, he was in anxiety. And the devotee, being full of compassion, was thinking, shall I go? He had a long day, 12 hours on Sankirtan. It's not easy. You want to just go home, get some hot milk, maybe read a couple of sentences of Krishna book and go to sleep. But then he decided to go and just see him. Then he went and he gave him a book. And immediately the person took the book and he looked at the book and he went, ah! And he dropped the book. And he started shaking. And the devotee was a little bit surprised, you know. And then devotee picked up the book. And then the person said, who are these people? Who are these people? And then the devotee looked at the book. It was the 6th canto. It was the picture of Ajamil and the Yamadutas. Ajamil's soul was being ripped from his body by the Yamadutas. And then the person pointed to the Yamadutas. I've seen these people. I've seen these people. And therefore, the devotee calmed him down. He says, don't worry. If you read this book, then you do not have to see these people. So then he took the book, he took the devotee's contact, and then in this way, the causeless mercy of the devotee helped and saved him. Otherwise, as explained over here, then he would be just caught up in samsara again and again and again. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. One devotee was saying that he heard about the Hare Krishnas. He heard that they have very, very nice festivals and feasts. So he came to Bhaktivedanta Manor. It was a Sunday feast. And they were serving date halava. And then he took this date halava, and he had never tasted anything quite like it. It blew his taste buds. And then he never left the temple. He became a devotee. So in this way, different forms of mercy, kindness of the devotees can help the living entity. Otherwise, they're perpetually stuck in this rut of this material world. And this neon, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And we might not be aware of it, we might not remember it because of the forgetfulness, but the living entity has been in these situations from time immemorial. And as explained, that there's two birds sitting in the tree. One is enjoying the fruits of the tree, and the other is just watching. So that living entity is trying so hard. Then after some time, then it'll look to the Lord of the Jivas. And then at that particular point, if he looks to the Lord, then he ponders the question, who am I? What is the purpose of life? What does it all mean? And then somehow or another, then Krishna's mercy arranges that he gets a transcendental book, a transcendental association. I read another story with one devotee. He was explaining that he does this kind of, you know when you go around a board and you kind of hold hands and stuff like that? What's that called? Ouija board or something, isn't it? And then you try and channel up in these spirits. So then people try to do these things. So this one devotee was explaining, he was doing these things and he was fascinated about spirits, afterlife, other kind of creations. And then this spirit was saying, you're asking too many complicated questions. I can't answer them. You need to go to the bookstore and then there's a book there that will help you understand these different questions. So then he goes to the bookstore, then he goes to the eastern side, philosophy, Buddhism, and he starts to look at this book, but none of them make any sense. But nevertheless, that's what he felt the spirit told him, and he took one or two of these books. Then he goes to try and pay for the books, and then as he's paying for the books, then one book in the back of the shelf falls off. It just falls off. Ooh. And then this person, this devotee, he asked the cashier, what is that book? He says, oh, it's just a book that fell, don't worry. He says, no, let me look at that book. And then the cashier picked the book up that just fell. He gave it to the devotee, and the book was Bhagavad Gita as it is. And then he said, no, I don't want any of these books. I'm taking this book. Because obviously he felt that, you know, this was the calling. This book just came. And he read that book. He went to the temple. And he got initiated by Srila Prabhupada. So the mercy of the Lord, the devotees are there. So if you want to stop this cycle of birth and death, we are so fortunate that we have come to this Krishna consciousness. We have to try and utilize it as much as possible so that we can make sure at the end we can go back home, back to Godhead, so that we don't have to come again and again and again. Today is also the disappearance of Srila Ramananda Roy. So we're going to talk a little bit about his wonderful activities. It is very, very nice in Krishna consciousness. We get inspiration. We learn about these wonderful personalities that can also help us in our Krishna consciousness. So Ramananda Roy appeared in Chaitanya Leela 500 years ago. And he appeared in a place near Alanath. And he had four brothers, and his father was Bhavananda Roy. And these five brothers in Krishna Leela, who were they? The Pandavas. And interestingly enough, Ramananda Roy is described as Arjuna partially, and some say Vishakha, some say Lalita. So I was doing a little bit of research, I'm trying to find out, and then it's explained in some of the writings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the general belief is that he is partial incarnation of Vishakha. So after Lord Chaitanya transformed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then Lord Chaitanya was going to go South India. And as he was going to South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made a request that please go and see this person, Ramananda Roy. So externally, he might seem he's like a materialistic, the way he dressed nicely, nice clothes, nice turban, surrounded many people. So then as Lord Chaitanya went to South India, in the banks of Godavari, he heard some fanfare. And then in the distance, he saw this fanfare coming, and he saw Ramananda Roy. And then he wanted to meet him, but because there were so many people over there, he just waited. Then later on, it is explained that Ramananda Roy came without his entourage, and then they embraced each other. And then they started talking and conversing in Krishna Katha. It's all explained there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya asked many, many, many different questions to Ramananda Roy, and for many, many days, I think it was up to 1 week, they discussed, and Lord Chaitanya would ask different questions, Ramananda Roy would give an answer, he says, no, there's something more, then he would give an answer, then there's something more, and in this way, if you have some time today, you can try and find these questions and answers. We'll see if anyone remembers any of these questions and answers. Govinda, do you want to say? What is the greatest wealth? Anyone know what's the greatest wealth? Mercy of the Lord, knowledge, and the answer? Sorry?
I think it's a love of Godhead.
Krishna Prema. And then another question he asked was, what's the greatest suffering in the world? What is the greatest suffering in the world? What? Separation from that pakora. Ramananda Roy said, the greatest suffering in this world is not having the association of the devotees. I can tolerate anything. I can tolerate inconvenience from other living entities, adi atmic, adi bhautik, adi devik, all these different three types of sufferings. Somehow or another we can tolerate them, but we cannot tolerate not having the devotees' association. Once Srila Prabhupada was in New York, and then Prabhupada was in an elevator, then he went down, and then one of his disciples, Kirtananda, then he took the stairs. And then as he came down and he met Prabhupada, anyone know what Prabhupada said to him? Prabhupada said, "Never ever leave me alone. I always want to be with the devotees." He said, "For many, many, many months I was on my own in New York. It was very, very difficult without being with the sadhus, with the devotees, with the Vaishnavas." So it's very, very important that whenever we get the chance, we associate with devotees. And then he asked, "What is the most holiest of all holy places in the universe?" And the answer is, Cyrus, Borumud. The green. What's the holiest of all holy places? Radha Kund. It is a place of Srimati Radharani. It's a place where she created this Kund. So Radha Kund. Anyway, after many, many conversations, then Lord Chaitanya asked that Ramananda Roy give up his job, whatever he was doing, and come to Jagannath Puri. And then he was working for the government, Maharaj Patraparudra. Because Maharaj Patraparudra was a great devotee, he gave him permission. But not only gave him permission, what else did Maharaj Patraparudra? So he was about 30s, 40s. So if you want to leave your job, what did Maharaj Patraparudra do? Anyone know? Govinda, you must. Anyone know, Prabhu? I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. He gave him a full pension. Bhaktisiddhanta also had that situation when he was working for the king of Tupara. He was teaching the prince there, and he worked there for, I think, 2 years. Then afterwards, he said, "I don't want to work there." So he worked for 2 years, and then the king said, "I'll give you a full pension." Imagine getting a full pension about 22. That'll be quite good, isn't it? Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta took it, and afterwards he didn't take it. Then Ramananda Roy was there in Jagannath Puri, and he was instrumental in helping Maharaj Patraparudra get the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And then in his most intimate, final moments, when Lord Chaitanya was performing his Antalila, his Gambira pastimes, when he became reclusive, when he wasn't very much with the public. Anyone been to Gambira? It's a very, very nice, potent, powerful place. You can go there. And then there it says that he only associated with one or two or three devotees. One was Swarup Damada, one was Govinda the servant, and the other was Ramananda Roy. And in this intense mood of Vipralamba missing Krishna, Ramananda Roy would give solace by reciting different prayers. And this way, Ramananda Roy is very, very close and very, very intimate. Also, when Ramananda Roy was on the bank of Godavari, after they finished their talks, he was very, very fortunate that he got the darshan of Lord Chaitanya But the Lord Chaitanya also revealed his true form as Radha and Krishna. You might see that picture or painting. There's Ramananda Roy and Radha and Krishna is there. And so to explain or to reveal to Ramananda Roy that Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna combined together. So Ramananda Roy was always there. He was a poet. He wrote a drama. Anyone know which drama it was? Jagannath Vallabha Natika. And it's quite an interesting story. We don't have that much time. It's almost come 8:30. He was preparing for this drama, and then these dasis, these ladies, he would prepare himself. And then one devotee, Padyurma Mishra, was invited to come and see Ramananda Roy. His glories were spoken. But when he went to see him, it was noticed by him that he was very intimately associating with these ladies and preparing them and dressing them himself. It's not something that's recommended. And then immediately this cast a doubt in Pradyumna, and he went back and told Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, Ramananda Roy is so elevated that he is not disturbed in any way by these activities. Normally, if we engage in this thing, but Ramananda Roy is so transcendental, he's so Krishna conscious, he's so elevated, his mind is so pure. All he wanted to do was prepare these girls so they could go in front of Lord Jagannath and perform this Jagannath Vallabha Natika. Not much is explained about his disappearance, but it is explained after Lord Chaitanya disappeared, as with a lot of his close associates, that's when Ramananda Roy also left this material world. Srila Ramananda Roy Prabhu ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So we'll stop over here. Anyone has any comments, questions, anything they like to add, corrections? Prabhu? Someone give him a...
I have a question regarding this annihilation, material world annihilation. Does it happen after the expiry of the four yugas, or is it connected with the day and night of Brahma?
So as I explained at the beginning, it happens after the day of Brahma, after the 12 hours. After Kali Yuga finishes, then it just like winter finishes, it just naturally goes into spring. So then all after end of Kali Yuga, everything is dissolute, everything is destroyed, everything is just wasted. And then there's a period of time when the earth replenishes itself and then new life begins, new sprout comes about, and then Satya Yuga takes place.
So this is after the four yugas?
This is after the Satya. But then these four yugas, which is called Divya? Then after this one, 1,000 times, then that's 112 hours of Brahma, and then Brahma goes to sleep for another 12 hours. And then that's when the living entities, they also go in a slumber. And then when he wakes up after 12 hours, then that whole process is awakened. And that animation, that glance of the Lord makes the living entities all take place, the karma, the activities. So, after each Kali Yuga, there's no annihilation. It just naturally, the earth replenishes itself and Satya Yuga comes. Is it? Is it 6 hours? Oh, it's okay, yeah. Well, you have to understand, ruling the earth is very, very difficult at times. So you need... Prabhupada said, if you're a driver, you're allowed to have extra sleep. So if you're a creator, you're allowed to have 12 hours sleep. Thank you. Grantarashima Bhagavatam Ki Hare Krishna.